Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Kevin Herr in tow. Kevin has done a great job of setting up today's show.
I have little parts, but I try to do the best I can on those little parts.
Well done. Thanks. The studios never look cleaner.
I tried to dust off the coffee area for you there, so it was nice and clean. There were a couple of rings from where you set your coffee cup, but I got those cleaned up.
Well done, and I want to make sure Bartlett's area is completely clean. I don't want her working in an area with any dust.
No, she's good to go there. That's all taken care of.
Yeah.
Per the email you sent me last night after the program.
Yes, well, today's show, we're going to go wrestling and basketball. Wrestling, in the opening part of the show, with Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Nittany Lion Wrestling on the Penn State Sports Network. He is going to join us in just moments here from St. Louis, where the NCAA Wrestling Championships get underway tomorrow. And then we will go to Tucson, Arizona, and talk with Doug Birdsong as Bucknell gets ready tonight to take on Arizona in the opening round of the NIT with a 9 o'clock Eastern time start. That is the part that Mr. Herr set up so brilliantly.
Well, you know, wrestling is the most popular sport that people would like to see more of on the Big Ten Network, based on our SteveJonesShow.com poll a couple of weeks ago.
And with that in mind, we go to St. Louis, where we've been dealing with brackets for the men's tournament all week. Herr, in fact, sent me his bracket this morning. We'll discuss. And joining us from St. Louis, where he's looking at brackets of a different kind, is the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling and the Penn State Sports Network, Jeff Byers, probably with weather like this on a golf course somewhere, right, Jeff?
It would certainly be a great day to be on the golf course here as well. I got to tell you, it is just gorgeous here in St. Louis also.
Well, brackets of a different sort. And you've been through this. You've been a part of watching a national championship won by the team you broadcast for. Jeff, when you look at the setup of the brackets, and the setup is very important in wrestling as to where you might meet somebody along the line and how long it takes to get there. When you look at the draw for the Nittany Lions in the 10 spots, do you like the respective draws as to how they potentially play out?
I think all in all, Penn State got a very favorable draw, and that'll happen when you have three guys to go undefeated during the regular season. They obviously got a couple of tough draws, but I've never been to a national tournament where any team sits there and after the draws come out says, man, that was fantastic. We got every draw we wanted. This is going to shape up just perfectly. But all things considered, Penn State does have some very favorable draws on paper. And, of course, as we all know and we've seen over the years, this thing isn't wrestled on paper. But, you know, I think Penn State is, it's certainly on paper. You would think Penn State will get at least six into the quarterfinals here. And those are a lot of points that can be gathered here in the early rounds by this team, not just with the win in advance, but with the potential for bonus points. And, again, when you look at some of those first and even second-round matchups, you would certainly think Penn State will get some tens and technical falls and major decisions in among the wins.
If this were to be wrestled on paper, Penn State would have three national champions. Let's go through the three guys that are undefeated and go in as prohibitive favorites. What has made Frank Molinaro's everybody, and Jeff, I don't want to go past what this season's been like, and I don't want to go past really what the past month's been like, because every season takes on its own personality for everybody. What has made Frank Molinaro's last month impressive to you?
The real thing to me, Steve, is that Frank has just made that all-out commitment. And with that. He is enjoying things. I've made the comparison. I think it's a lot like a kid who has studied like crazy for an upcoming test. And, I mean, he knows the subject inside and out. And you can hardly wait to get that test because you know you're going to ace it. You know you're going to be able to prove yourself. And I really think that's where Frank Molinaro's at. He's, I don't think he's feeling any of the pressure. I think he's embracing the opportunity he has. And he has said repeatedly here over the last month, from the last home match to the last Big Ten championships, and obviously now his final wrestling tournament as a competitor, that he is really focusing on, yes, competing and winning, but on enjoying everything about it. He said he wants to be able to look back on this experience at Penn State with no regrets and with good memories, not just of the competition, but of being with his teammates, being with his coaches, being with his family. His dad has made every trip this year, and it took some doing for him to get to Utah when Penn State wrestled out at Utah Valley. But that father-son bond that Frank has with his dad is something very special and very meaningful to him and to his father here this year. And so I just think Frank is genuinely soaking up everything about the experience and enjoying the process, because he knows there is nobody that has put in more time, that is better prepared to go out and perform well than himself. And I think it's just kind of neat to see the maturity of Molinaro here over the last 4 or 5 years, and it's certainly, you know, coming to fruition here over the last month or so, as you said.
Jeff, at the Big Tens, what struck me happened to be the number of bonus points Frank Molinaro racked up. Is that part and parcel because of it's not just a focused but relaxed Frank Molinaro?
Yeah, and he has very specific goals. I mean, he went into that Big Ten tournament with the idea that he was not going to allow a point. I mean, it was a specific goal that he had going into the tournament, where he has really improved this year because he was very good on top last year. I mean, he racked up impressive riding time matches throughout the course of the season last year. This year, yeah, he's amassing the riding time, but he's getting points from that top position a lot more frequently. He's getting the tilts. He's worked himself into some pins. And he is just, he's looking to score from that top position, not just, you know, tire the guy out, not just get that extra point for the riding time. He's looking to get the 2 or 3 point near fall tilts, and where you get one or two of those in a match, and you just make it virtually impossible for your opponent then to be able to come back and hang with you. And, you know, he has just really done that throughout the season. It is a pretty remarkable statistic that going into this NCAA tournament, in 18 of his 28 bouts this year, Molinaro has not allowed his opponent a point. That is just a remarkable statistic, because in today's wrestling especially, it is just more often than not, when you get the great wrestlers, they will intensely cut their opponents loose so that they can try to gain additional takedowns. And Molinaro is just so good on top that he refuses to do that, and he still amasses points from that top position.
David Taylor has lost one bout in his young Penn State career. We know exactly where that was. Can you give us an idea of his mindset? Because I think we all know he has waited 12 months for the moment.
No question about that. And I think this is a very special weekend for David Taylor as well. I think he is approaching this with pretty much the same mindset he approaches everything, which is that he wants to go out there and be relentless in looking for points. The one thing I think with Taylor is that he probably will be a little more cautious here with his positioning in this year's tournament than last year. He obviously remembers very well what happened in the finals last year, but I really think he is as hungry maybe as anybody other than Molinaro on this team to get that national title, to get that first one, if you will, out of the way. The expectations are so high, and he's had that goal of being a national champion for so long. And it was a bittersweet experience for him last year in winning the team title, because that was very important for him. And he has said repeatedly that that was the biggest source of comfort for his loss individually in the finals last year was that he was able to celebrate with his team the team championship. But he very much wants to go out there and not just win the title. He wants to do it putting no doubt as to who the best wrestler at that weight is this year. And I think it's going to be an exciting weekend just to watch David Taylor wrestle.
Jeff, yeah, he's also the guy that the moment something's over with, he's the first one to go over to the fans. He's the first one to go over and talk to the media if the media needs something from him or even seek them out on his own. What does that tell you about his mindset that he's always promoting it, but at the same time also appears to be able to take the focus of the moment and then relax and do something like that?
Yeah, I mean, he is a great ambassador for the sport, and I think he recognizes his role. He obviously was a sensational high school wrestler and had all kinds of accolades then. He knew the expectations were high when he came to Penn State. And much like Molinaro, David is one of those kids that just enjoys the process. I mean, he genuinely looks forward to practice each day. And listen, when he and Ed Ruth roll around, it is fun to watch. And, you know, Ruth gets the better. Ruth is a little bigger, a little stronger. But the interesting thing to me with Taylor is when he goes into that wrestling room, he seeks out the guys that he knows can beat him, the Casey Cunninghams, the Cale Sandersons, the Ed Ruths. Those are the guys that he wants to be rolling around with because he knows that he is, while he's at an elite level, that in order to take that next step and become a legend in the sport, and he is on his way to doing just that, that he needs to keep testing himself, pushing himself, refining his skills. And I think that David Taylor, right now, it's just hard to envision anybody in this tournament at that weight class beating him. And unlike last year, I can't even see him getting caught. I mean, that's always a danger for any wrestler, and you never know with certainty going into any tournament. But I just think David Taylor right now is so sharp with his skills and is so honed with his positioning and making sure he's doing all of the little things right during the match that the big things will take care of themselves. And I think he just feels supremely confident going into this weekend, and with good reason.
Well, Jeff, I'm glad that old man Sanderson can still beat somebody.
I hear you.
We're with Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Nittany Lion Wrestling on the Penn State Sports Network, joining us from St. Louis. Now we get to Ed Ruth. Ed Ruth, we know in the offseason, had to battle a couple things. Then once he got into the wrestling room, he has been a handful for anybody at any point. What has allowed Ed Ruth, other than natural maturity, to step up and be an undefeated wrestler?
Well, two things, Steve. Ed Ruth is a supremely naturally gifted athlete. And I think sometimes people take for granted that, well, yeah, he's a great athlete, so you know that he doesn't work hard. And it's just the opposite with him. He is one of those rare guys that, yes, has the exceptional talent, and then with that has the exceptional work ethic. And, you know, when you get those that combination, you get a Michael Jordan in basketball, you get a Jerry Rice in football, then you get an Ed Ruth in wrestling. I mean, the guy, you know, if it wasn't for David Taylor, we would be talking about Ed Ruth in legendary terms. And before it's all said and done, they may very well both be on that level, because Ed Ruth is just lightning quick with his shots. He is uncannily strong in any situation. And the thing with him, again, is it's that work ethic, and he is just so supremely conditioned, so aware of what he needs to do when he's on the mat to get himself out of a bad predicament, to not put himself in a bad predicament, and to score when an opponent makes a mistake. I mean, it is amazing to watch him, because if an opponent does make a mistake, I mean, just a little bit out of position, Ed Ruth will capitalize. And again, he is so good that even if you don't make a mistake, I mean, we've seen some guys that are going to be All-Americans this weekend that Ed Ruth has wrestled this season, and you can see it in their eyes when they walk off the mat after wrestling against him, and they're just shaking their head, because there really is nothing you can do. You go in with a game plan, you strategize, then you shake hands, and you feel that grip of Ed Ruth, and it's just it is just a different animal when you're trying to wrestle a kid like Ruth. And, you know, as long as he stays focused and he's on, you know, I think he may be as good a wrestler pound for pound as there is in the country here. And he's at a weight class that is loaded. I mean, there are just a handful of undefeated wrestlers in the tournament, and three of them are at that weight. So he will likely get a huge test in the finals, whether it's Nikomucha Stegi of Stanford, who beat him last year at the NCAA tournament, or whether it's Chris Perry, who is just a great wrestling protege from Oklahoma State. And either one of those would be a very intriguing finals matchup for Ed Rose.
I was going to say, because there had been some thought after the Big Tens, Jeff, that even though Ed was undefeated, some thought, well, maybe he might be a two going in, but it turned out he ended up being a one.
Yeah, and there's been some talk about that out here. I think you flip a coin between any of the three. I mean, they didn't wrestle each other. Obviously, all three are undefeated. And so trying to pick between the three is pretty difficult. I do think when you look at the resumes, I mean, Ed Roots wrestled better competition over the course of the season than Amucha Stegi and was significantly more dominant than Chris Perry against similar competition. So I think Roots this season went out and earned that number one seed. The argument against him and with the Amucha Stegi, who ended up being the three seed, is that obviously Nick beat him. But again, that was last season, and the seedings for this tournament are based on the results from this year. And again, it's difficult when you're picking between three undefeated wrestlers. But I really personally think the seeding committee got it right. I think the caliber of competition that Ruth faced puts him number one, and the dominance with which he faced that competition. And then I think Chris Perry, again, faced better competition, wrestled more matches than Amucha Stegi, and so I think he's properly seeded second, and Amucha Stegi is third. But again, all three of those guys are just exceptionally good wrestlers.
But the key is that if it holds in the semis, one faces four, two faces three, and that is the key to being the one.
Yep, no question. It is. It's a big deal. Although, again, when Ed Hoost is on, you know, he could face an undefeated guy in all five rounds and prevail, because he is just that good. But yeah, obviously you would rather just face that caliber of guy in one match rather than two. As whoever emerges from that, you know, is going to be tested and maybe pushed to the limit in that semifinal match. And, you know, that may take a little bit of a toll on them going into the finals then on Saturday night.
You had talked about Ed Ruth's athleticism and that he doesn't take it for granted. That makes him very special. Along the way, where has he become more technically proficient to then add to that athleticism, where you talk about his ability to counter and also able to take the shot when he needs it, while combining technical proficiency with athleticism?
Yeah, the two things that I think he has improved on the most are setting up his takedowns, because when he first came in, and he is so good that he could just blow through a lot of guys, but he wasn't taking his time against top competition to set up the takedown, get the guy a little bit out of position, and then finish that shot nice and quickly. And he certainly is doing that this year. And the other part of it is his defense has just gotten so much better. His baseline defense, where he controls the opponent's hands. He does not let them get into his leg. Now, again, he's good enough that you get in on his leg. It's a very difficult process to go ahead and convert that into a takedown against Ruth. But, you know, it takes some time away from the match. You fight for 15, 20 seconds getting out of a single leg or a double leg takedown. That's 15 or 20 seconds that you're not trying to score. And where he has really just gotten much, much better over the course of the last year or so is in that defense, not allowing opponents to get in on his legs, not allowing them to get shots off. And I think those two things, getting a little better setups and scoring himself on the opportunities, and just simply not allowing his opponents to get even opportunities to score against him, has really allowed him to just go to a different level. And he's always been dominant from top. He has refined his skills from that top position, much like Molinaro this year, where it is just almost impossible to get out from Ruth. And we've seen him hit cradles on guys that knew it was coming, did everything technically right to avoid being cradled up by him, and it just doesn't matter because he is that strong and he is that technically sound. I mean, he gets exactly where he wants to be up under your arm, and then he puts the crank on you, and it's just it is virtually impossible for somebody to get out of that cradle once he gets it locked up.
That's Jeff Byers joining us from St. Louis. Jeff is going to hang on with us. We're going to bring him in for the next half hour as well to talk more about Penn State wrestling at the NCAA championships. We've talked about the three guys that are currently seated number one. Jeff, what we'll do is when we come back from the news at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk about the other three guys that you think have a shot at quarterfinals and the other three that could possibly score points as well for Penn State. We'll continue with more from Jeff Byers from St. Louis in a moment. Kevin, you can jump in and say hi right here.
Hi. How was that? Was that good?
Boy, that was strong.
See?
You know,
I don't do much, but I try and do it well.
Every week on this show, I feel like you get better.
Thanks. Your praise is what I strive for.
Sarah Bartlett in the news coming up in a few moments here on WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All over my email and my Twitter account, I've been getting a lot more requests from people saying we want to hear more Kevin Herr. So, Kevin?
Yes, sir.
How are you? All right. Well, welcome everyone back to the show. We continue on with Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Nittany Lion Wrestling on the Penn State Sports Network. Jeff's joining us from St. Louis this afternoon. Jeff, in the opening segment, we talked about the three number one seeds. All three are undefeated. Frank Molinaro at 149, David Taylor at 65, and, of course, Eddie Ruth, all seeded number one. But you did mention, Jeff, in that open that you thought that Penn State had a good shot of getting six to the quarterfinals. So let's talk about the other three that really have a legitimate shot.
Yeah, I think Dylan Alden is a really interesting case here because this is the redshirt freshman from Central Mountain, of course, a terrific high school career, and watched Andrew, his twin brother, wrestle last year, and now Andrew's redshirting this year. And Dylan is just steadily getting better. I think this is a kid that you're going to look back in a couple of years and say, man, this is the next in the line of David Taylor, Ed Ruth, and Frank Molinaro. I mean, the Altons are that good. I think this first national tournament experience is going to be an interesting one for Alton because he is a very dangerous wrestler. Most of the matches he's lost this year have been by just a point or two. He's been right there with some of the best guys in the country. And the real key for him is going to be getting out from the rides of good opponents. So the potential is there. If Fulton takes care of business to get a rematch with Perry St. John of Iowa in the quarterfinals. And, you know, it's a match that St. John won in overtime at the Big Ten championships, but the Penn State coaches feel like that is a very winnable bout for Dylan Alton. And the real key for him this whole weekend is just going to be finishing off those takedowns. He's gotten in on the legs of just about everybody he's wrestled, but against the elite caliber wrestlers, the All-American candidates this year, he just has not been able to finish off and convert on those scoring opportunities. Cameron Wade should get to the quarterfinals, and Cameron Wade, as a senior, never All-American for Penn State, and obviously that is a big weight on his back going into the weekend. And I think Cameron is anxious to kind of prove himself here this weekend and finish off his career in the style that he wants. And then Quentin Wright is the other one, Steve. I just think Wright is a guy that right now looks really, really good in practice, and I just think
Jeff,
if he stays focused and relaxed, he's going to be dangerous.
Jeff, I think he's the most dangerous guy of the guys you talked about because he's the defending national champion, and I saw something in him down the stretch where it looked like he was kicking it into another gear.
He was, and he had a little bit of a brain cramp, I guess you would call it, in the semifinals at the Big Tens.
Yeah, he lost track.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, it is tough to explain, but it happened, and, you know, hopefully he learns from it. But, yeah, Steve, he just was such a reckless abandon, and he is so dangerous because he can score big points from any position. I mean, you could be riding him for 20 seconds, and you make just a little turn the wrong way, he can get those hips over in an instant and take you to your back. And he is just, I agree with you. I think he's, I actually think he's as dangerous a wrestler as there is in the tournament. And it's going to be a very tough draw, obviously, for anybody in the tournament this weekend. And if Quentin gets to the quarterfinals, and certainly you would expect that that Wright will get to the quarterfinals, he would likely face Robert Hamlin, who is obviously a very dangerous wrestler in his own right. Oh, sorry, I guess that would be a semifinal match. He'd face Ben Bennett of Central Michigan in the quarterfinals. But if he can get to that matchup with Hamlin, I mean, that would be a rematch of last year's NCAA finals. And, again, I think Wright would be very comfortable in that matchup, very confident. And I really think Quentin gives them four real legitimate national title contenders going into the weekend.
No question about that. That's four legitimate national championship contenders because he is the defending national champion. Penn State has three other guys involved, and Jeff, we'll talk about them in just a few moments. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show on WKOK with Jeff Byers from St. Louis after this.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. And if you want to save big at the gas pump, Sunbury Motors Hyundai has the miles per gallon your wallet is looking for. If you trade your current vehicle that gets 22 miles per gallon on a brand new Hyundai Veloster, you'll save $1,647 per year or $8,236 over 5 years. If you're looking for an all-wheel drive to trade in on, a brand new Hyundai Tucson will save you $3,929 over 5 years. Every Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And at Sunbury Motors Hyundai, you'll get an additional set of tires. So what are you waiting for? Trade in your current vehicle at Sunbury Motors Hyundai with the possibility of saving thousands over the next 5 years. Go to sunburymotors.com. Hover over new. Click on calculate fuel savings and fill in the rest. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And at sunburymotors.com.
Get comfortable in a new Lazy Boy recliner during the bonus coupon sale going on now at Plaza House Furniture. Shop the area's largest selection of Lazy Boy furniture and save on chaise recliners just $3.99. Big Man's Aster recliner just $5.99. Save $80 on the Clark reclining sofa, now just $7.49. And save on a beautiful leather recliner, just $6.99. Plus, save even more when you go to plazahouse.com and type in keyword KO, where it says get $25 gift certificate. You'll get a gift certificate that's as good as cash. As always, get free delivery on any $3.90 purchase or more, plus 0% financing is available during the bonus coupon sale going on now. Look for the flyer in your local paper.
It's what life is about.
Come on over to our house, where the value is real. Our house is Plaza House. Plaza House.
Plaza House Furniture, Routes 11 and 15, Sealands Grove, and Route 11, Bloomsburg.
Front Street Station in Northumberland invites you to have a shamrock of a good time with their St. Patrick's Day weekend parties. On Friday, March 16th, behold the luck of the Irish with live entertainment from Jamie O'Brien and the Lonnie's Band. At Front Street Station, you can enjoy the deluxe Irish buffet and the band for only $15 per person. If you just want to party with the band, it's only a $5 cover. Buffet starts at 5:30, entertainment starts at 6. Then, come back to Front Street Station in Northumberland on Saturday, March 17th to see Jamie O'Brien rock out the Irish tunes in the main dining room and take advantage of Front Street Station's traditional Irish dinner special, plus regular dinner menu. This year, celebrate St. Patrick's Day the right way with not one, but 2 days at Front Street Station in Northumberland. For reserved seating, call Front Street Station at 473-3626. St. Patrick's Day weekend parties with Jamie O'Brien and the Lonnie's Band Friday, March 16th, and then Jamie O'Brien playing more Irish music on Saturday, March 17th at Front Street Station, number 2 Front Street in Northumberland, a railroad eatery.
Weekdays from 10 a.m. till noon, join Dan Patrick on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
That's something you got to think about. Who would play you in a movie?
Jason Bateman. Not that I had that answer ready.
And you're about what? Are you 6'3", 6'4"?
6'3".
I'm not sure what he is, but most actors you see on television, you think they're 6 foot and they're like 5'6".
They're stumpy. Who would you, I'm thinking? For you. Jason Statham.
Statham, that's what I was going to say.
Right. Dan will talk all things sports and more. Dan Patrick, weekdays 10 till noon and again from 7 to 10 p.m. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.
Okay. my Twitter account cooking today. A lot of people are saying, let's hear more Kevin Hurt, Kevin.
You know, there's a lot of wrestlers in this tournament.
Well done, Kevin. Outstanding. Great drop-in.
You know what? I did that just for you. You're welcome.
Great drop-in. I'll tell you, that broadcast school's really paid off for you. All right, let's go back to St. Louis. Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling and the Penn State Sports Network, is with us. We've talked about the three undefeated wrestlers, Molinaro, Taylor, Ruth. We've talked about the next three you think can get to the quarterfinals. All right, what about the final three? What can they do to help Penn State get some valuable points along the way, and where can their contributions come from?
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting, Steve, because I really think both Nico Megalutis and Morgan McIntosh, the two true freshmen in the lineup this year, are both capable of doing something big this weekend. They both have the skills. Both have made the improvements over the course of the year that, you know, I would not be shocked to see them on the All-American stand on Saturday night. Megalutis probably has a little better opportunity, but in terms of his development, but the concern with him is the draw. And he's the one guy that maybe did not get a real favorable draw, again, when you look at it on paper, just because that first-round matchup is going to be a real big one for Megalutis. He'll face Jonathan Morrison of Oklahoma State. It'll be a big match in terms of the team race, because Oklahoma State is one of just a couple of teams that would appear to have enough firepower that they could challenge Penn State for the team race this weekend. And Morrison is another young kid, a sophomore for Oklahoma State, who was hampered by a leg injury last year, where he may have been an All-American as a freshman last year. But he's not seeded this year. He's probably just outside of being seeded, and Megalutis is a 10 seed, draws him in the first round. But you look at that matchup on paper, and I really think it's a toss-up type of match in the opening round. And then if Megalutis does get the win there, you know, then he's right away in against Frank Borelli, who he lost to twice during the regular season.
Because this whole thing just does not magically open up for him. He's going to have to work every step.
No, exactly right. And he is, you know, he's certainly, again, capable of doing big things this weekend. It's just going to be a matter for him of kind of staying focused, staying in the moment, and taking it truly one doubt at a time. But, you know, he's a guy that, again, wouldn't surprise me if he All-Americans. It wouldn't be shocking to me if he went 0-2 this weekend. I mean, it's just a really tough weight class, and with the draws, you just never know. And, you know, McIntosh, the same thing. He's unseeded. He'll face Taylor Meeks of Oregon State in the first round, and that's a matchup that also I think could go either way. I think Morgan is a guy we've seen. He's been right there with some of the best guys in the country at that weight class. You know, he's had some matches that he's let slip away by not keeping his focus, and this will be a big opportunity for him this weekend to kind of go out and establish himself on the national scene. I mean, that's what this weekend really does for freshmen. We saw Molinaro when he was a redshirt freshman. He struggled during that regular season, and actually struggled with the Big Ten tournament. Got in as a wild card seed that year, a wild card bid. And then Frank went out and had just a terrific tournament, an All-American, finishing eighth at 141, and that kind of jump-started the rest of his career. And I think both Megalutis and McIntosh have the potential to have that type of a weekend here. And again, they're both in very tough weight classes. They're both guys that that have three or four matches there that you look at and say, yeah, they could win or they could lose that one. I mean, it's just going to be a small margin for error for those guys, even in the first couple of rounds. And then the other guy for Penn State is Frank Martellotti, who was just a great story coming out of Big Ten's, getting the seventh place win that got him the automatic bid. He obviously has a brutal draw in the first round, and the returning national champ and number one seed, Jordan Oliver of Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw that. I looked at it. I said, yeah, they did him a lot of favors. Welcome to the show.
But you know what? The good news about that, Steve, is that I think when you look then, assuming he does drop down into consolations and doesn't pull off the upset of the year, interesting. If he drops in the consolations, both of those next two potential matches for him are certainly winnable matches. And those are points you just never know. Again, in a tournament like this, that point or two could be the difference between Penn State winning or finishing second here this weekend. And so, you know, I think Martellotti will have a chance here to pick up some wins, pick up some valuable experience, and kind of build upon this season and going into next year. And I think that's really, with Martellotti, what you're looking for is effort. And, again, if he can get a win or two, I think you feel like he's really giving you something. And he's also setting himself up for better success here in the future. And obviously the disappointment for Penn State this weekend is that Brian Pearsall did not get one of the at-large bids at 141. And when you look at the criteria that were used, I mean, it's not like Brian got robbed. But it does hurt, because this is a kid who's just put so much into the sport, has improved so drastically.
I mean, he got so much better all season long.
It's just been fun to watch him grow. And, you know, it's a kid that got the most out of his ability this year. I mean, I think at the end of the day, Brian Pearsall can look himself in the mirror and say, you know what, I did everything in my power, did everything I could. I wrestled to the best of my ability every time I went out. And, you know, it didn't work out this year. I do think it'll help fuel his motivation for next year, because he'll be a senior next year and it'll be one final opportunity to get to the national tournament. And, you know, I think Brian is a kid that could fall in the line of a Doc Vecchio or a James Yonasotis, a kid that did not come in highly touted out of high school, but just works himself into being an All-American caliber of wrestler. And I'm really anxious for, as disappointed as I know Brian is, and the coaches are disappointed just because they know Brian would have been capable of getting some wins here. I mean, those are points that would have been big in the team race, because Brian is a guy that is capable of pinning opponents. And, you never know what would have happened, but I really think if he had been here, chances are he would have gotten at least a win or two, and probably a bonus point or two for Penn State in the team race, and that obviously would have been big. But I'm also anxious to see how he uses this to fuel his continued development and his motivation for next year, because I really think Brian next year could be one of the really great stories on this team.
Yeah, I like him very much, and I hope that his senior season, because I remember how Yonasotis was, he coming out of Phillipsburg Osceola, and he put together a senior season with setback and went, wow, that's great. It's great to see it all come together. Brian could be that same kind of guy.
No doubt.
Winning is special. No matter how you win is special. But every once in a while, it's not just that you won, but it's how you won. How they won the Big Ten championship, what do you think that did for the overall confidence of this team? Because they went, 13-2 the final day and vaulted from third to first.
Yeah, winning their last 11 bouts. And the thing about it is, much like last year at the Big Ten tournament, they're all coming in to the NCAA tournament off of wins. And it just, you always remember your last bout. I mean, that's just the way competitors are. You remember that last game or the last match, and it stays with you until you get back out on the mat again. And so they all have that positive experience, the confidence builder, going into the NCAA tournament. And, you know, this coaching staff just does do a great job of keeping things focused and relaxed. They were very short practices, relatively speaking, to the regular season in the week or week and a half leading up to this tournament, but they were sharp practices. I mean, they got a lot accomplished. There's just some fine-tuning on some things with the individuals, and then it's all about the competition. And this group likes to compete. They like to have fun, and they understand there are times to have fun, there are times to be focused, and it's been a unique group that way, in that they, you know, they go all out, and they are as competitive and as aggressive as can be. And then the whistle blows, practice is over, and they're laughing. They all have their weight under control. They had some cake that Kale had brought in on, what was it, I think Monday night there.
Their weight must be under control if they're doing that.
Absolutely. And it's just just a neat atmosphere that this coaching staff has created. They go out and they seek competitors, they seek guys that want to be the best, and then they put them in an environment where, you know, it's not like a military boot camp. I mean, it's a lot of hard work, I don't misunderstand, but the attitude is such a big thing, and they want these guys relaxed. They want these guys smiling. They want these guys in a good frame of mind, an upbeat attitude, and I think this team is. And obviously the winning at the Big Ten tournament and having a strong second day again, just as they did last year, I just think it helps immensely in just getting everybody kind of feeling the way you want them to be feeling heading into the NCAA tournament.
Well, I mean, that's the beauty of this and the way Cale and his staff run this. And I've seen other coaches do this in other sports as well, Jeff. But the mat is only so big. The second you walk on that mat or the weight room, whatever you need, you just open the door, you're all business. The second you walk out of that door, it's a different world.
Yep.
And they do that. Now, we knew where the threats would be in the Big Ten championship team-wise, because this isn't a dual meet thing. This is how you garner points. So on the national group, we know how Penn State's going to be able to garner its points. Where will the threats come from?
I think Oklahoma State, on the national scene here, I think is better equipped to make a run at the national title than they were at the Big Ten championships. And I think Cornell is still a dangerous team. I think Cornell is kind of flying under the radar a bit here. But in terms of a tournament team, they could get two guys into the finals, and they could have five guys placing very highly. I mean, Steve Bozak, the state high grad, is certainly capable of getting into the finals as well at 184. And so at the national tournament, it really is about trying to get three guys or so into the finals. If you're looking to win the championship, you get three guys into the finals, get a couple of champs, and you get five All-Americans somewhere in that neighborhood if they're all high-placing All-Americans, and you're going to be in the thick of it. And I think Oklahoma State, Penn State, Cornell, and Iowa are the four teams that I think are built for that. Minnesota certainly has depth. I just don't know that they have quite enough at the top. I don't know if they're going to have more than one in the finals if Sanders gets there at 125. And I just, so that we'll see, and you never know. And there are other teams that are out there that could be surprises. I mean, Missouri won the Big 12 championship, and they certainly could be a dangerous team. Ohio State is the team that has a lot of dangerous young wrestlers, and that's a team that if a couple of those guys get really hot this weekend, they could suddenly find themselves in a top five position. But going into it, I really think it's a four-team battle in my mind. I know some others would put Minnesota in there, but I think Minnesota may be up there for the first day or two. I just can't see them hanging for 3 days in the team race and really have a legitimate shot at the title. But I think Oklahoma State, Iowa, and Cornell are the three teams that I think pose real threats here to Penn State if the Nittany Lions stumble a bit here over the weekend.
What happens to Missouri after this year?
Well,
there's no Big 12 championship to defend.
Yeah. You know, it is going to be interesting to see how everything kind of shakes out here in the wrestling world, because it is just going to be a different world with all of the teams that have moved all over the place. And I'm really not exactly sure how they're going to handle this with, Missouri in particular, and anybody in the SEC. I don't know if those, Missouri now obviously has established that wrestling program big time. Brian Smith has done a great job with it. But I don't know if there's been anything firmed up as to where or how they will compete in wrestling in terms of a conference affiliation for next year or the future.
Amazing, because those are things that along the way everybody sees. Missouri goes in. They're going to be in the Eastern Division, by the way. Again, never teach your children through sports, okay? Never.
Amen.
Okay. I mean, how many schools were in the Big Ten? Missouri's in the East. Okay. But those are things that the domino effect is, oh, wait a minute. Now what do we do with that? Well.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, looking forward to listening to every word from St. Louis. You always do such a great job. Thanks so much for all the time you gave us here. And I think you gave all the fans, I think, about all the insight they could possibly handle. I'd have gone through bracket by bracket with you, but there's only so much time.
Yeah, no, I thank you very much. And, yeah, we're certainly looking forward to covering it. This is a fun time of the year for wrestling fans.
It sure is. And then we'll do it. Okay, Jeff Byers with us from St. Louis. This is where you jump in, Herb.
Well, I have a whole lot of stuff, but we're running out of time.
I had a lot of great
stuff to add to that, but now we're out of time for the hour.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, we're going to talk about the Bucknell wrestlers, the Bloomsburg wrestlers.
Actually, we are going to do that, but we'll do that after we talk with Doug Birdsong.
All right.
Doug is going to join us from Tucson, where he's getting ready to broadcast tonight's showdown between Bucknell and Arizona. Arizona, the one seed. Bucknell, the 8th seed, they'll play tonight. It's on ESPN2, but Doug will be courtside, foul line across from the Bucknell bench at the McHale Center in Tucson, Arizona. Someone that would fit in perfectly in Tucson would be Sarah Bartlett. She'll be along in a few moments following CBS News, and then Kevin Herr. Can he say more than 20 words in the next hour on WKOK?
I doubt it.